Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the official Rebuild Podcast with your host, Roosevelt Belton Jr. And for every episode, we seek to provide deep discussions on community, diversity, equity, and inclusion regarding higher education in the urban Metro Detroit area. And in this episode, these topics will center around Henry Ford College as we discuss the founding of their inaugural BEA, or Black Employees Association. And here to discuss this organization, I'm joined by Chardon Claiborne, both faculty lead of the Learning Lab at HFC and BEA's first elected president. Chardon, thank you for coming on. How are you?
Thank you for having me today, Roosevelt. I appreciate the time. I'm doing well and looking forward to having a good conversation with you today.
Thank you. I think we're going to have that. So regarding HFC, BEA, or the Black Employees Association, announced their presence to HFC on June 4th, 2020. How did this association initially evolve from an idea to a reality?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. The BEA is interesting. HFC had an African American Faculty Association back in the 90s. And when I came to HFC, that organization wasn't active. One of the things that I was interested in is having more of a community surrounding Black employees at the college. There are some there, not as many as I'm used to having at other institutions that I've worked at, but I wanted just to have a sense of community. I would talk with some of my colleagues and peers at the college and ask them, you know, would you be interested if we were able to create this sort of organization where we could discuss, try to see how we can pull Black employees together for their benefit and for the benefit of the institution, honestly. And so the timing of last year with everything happening, especially the pandemic and how that had a disproportionate negative effect on Black people, and then also all of, really, I don't know how to say it any plainer, but the deaths that were happening to Black people at the hands of other American citizens, a lot of gun violence, and also at the hands of law enforcement officers, it was kind of a tipping point. And when all of these things were happening, I just kind of made the decision to say, well, I'm going to put this out to my colleagues here and see if I get any response. And I was pleasantly surprised to get a lot of response, and people were very interested in building something like this and having this sort of organization. So it was kind of an outgrowth of time, of the times that we were living in. But also, I like to think that it's connected historically to that organization that already existed at Henry Ford in the past. So that's kind of how it came about.
And, you know, speaking of community and speaking of, you know, that initial response you got, you know, when you put this idea out there, June 29th, 2020 was the first official meeting for BEA at HFC. Before starting that meeting, what were your expectations going in and how did they change afterwards?
Yeah, my expectations going in, honestly, were, I hope I'm not the only person at this meeting. So I was really just kind of cautiously optimistic because I did receive some emails from people saying, yes, this sounds like a great idea. Yes, I'm interested. But sometimes you can get those emails from people, and then when it's time for the day of an event, you those people don't necessarily show up. So I was just hoping that we had a good turnout. And it was a pretty good turnout. The other piece is that I just wanted to help create a space where Black employees could feel safe and comfortable talking about whatever was on their mind. And again, as I mentioned in answering your first question, you know, there were the two big issues were, you know, the pandemic and but also we weren't even as far into it as we are now. We're still dealing with that now. But the, you know, the George Floyd and all of the others, you know, all the others who also had lost their lives. So those were big issues, but I just wanted to hear what was on the minds of my peers, my colleagues at the college, and just have space for us to be able to talk and see where we might go, what we might do. Because you're interviewing me, but this thing doesn't get done and doesn't get to the point that it is now without everyone's involvement, you know, and everyone's help. So I didn't really, it's probably going to sound like I'm trying to be funny or something, but I didn't set out to be in the position that I'm in now. I just wanted to have something where people could feel safe expressing how they feel and feel like they have a voice and hopefully feel like they have like-minded people, you know, in lockstep with them that can help advance any concerns that they have and get them addressed.
And one thing I did want to touch on was you talked about, you know, the murder of George Floyd, the issues with the pandemic that is still going on. These are issues that don't really affect Black people within a bubble. You know, it reverberates around the entire community. So with BEA, you know, being young and not being the only affinity association for Black people at institutions, who or what were some things that you learned by reaching out to other organizations at other institutions as far as, you know, how they handle their own associations?
Yeah, that was one of the first things that we were able to do. We were able to connect with some of our, I like to call them kind of sister organizations at other higher ed institutions. I think we were connected with Western Michigan, with Oakland University, with University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, with Wayne State. I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. But the most interesting thing is that they were all different, which is to be expected. Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing that I learned is finding a way to stay connected with the institution itself. Because if you're representing the employees at an institution, it's kind of difficult to be doing that and be totally separate from the institution itself. So there has to be a sense of collaboration and showing the institution the purpose of the affinity group of the organization and how our mission aligns honestly with the mission of for HFC, like being a welcoming college and trying to do things that are in line with best practices, with diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice. You know, showing the institution how we're not here to, you know, stir up trouble or anything like that, but we are here to make sure that Black employees, and really we hope that this, to use your word, reverberates out, and that employees of any demographic group feel like they can be heard, feel like they can be listened to, and their concerns can be addressed. Because all this stuff is intersectional. I may be here talking about the BEA and the Black Employee Association, but I think the work of the BEA here, and I think the work of other affinity groups at other institutions is predicated on you start with that group, but all these things help to make us have a more cohesive whole and help to improve the standing of of really everyone working at the institution and the students. We can't forget, and we can't leave out the students. I mean, most of us who are in higher education are doing this work for the betterment of our students, and because we believe that education is a gateway and a pathway for a better life. So I feel like I've gotten a little bit off course, but those are some of the things, making sure that we're connected with the institution, making sure that we have a plan, you know, a vision for where we want to go. Those are very important things, because with any organization, members can ebb and flow, and their desire to be a part of the organization can ebb and flow if the mission isn't clear and if it doesn't appear that the organization is actually moving somewhere and doing something.
And so I want to touch on that last point, as far as, you know, the ebb and flow members and having a vision. So after you established yourself and began to have regular meetings, what were some of the initial goals and concerns that you want to address as a collective going forward?
Yes, some of the early things that we've talked about was really equity. Mm-hmm. Equity issues concerning Black employees at the institution. You know, and this isn't, I don't know that it's widespread, but there were enough people who mentioned this that made it something that we wanted to address with the administration. So there were employees who felt like they did not have a fair or equitable opportunity for career advancement within the institution. And there were employees who have felt like their treatment was not necessarily what you would call professional. Along with that, we had questions and we had concerns that we wanted to discuss about hiring practices, training practices that occur at the institution, and making sure that we're actually having a diverse candidate pool for open positions and things of that nature, and that when people are brought into HFC, that they understand kind of what they're being enculturated into and how they should kind of conduct themselves and what to expect. These were things that we wanted to discuss. And I have to give a lot of credit to the institution, to the administration, because they have been very open to having conversations with the BEA, especially the members of the executive board, and trying to work in positive directions to address many of these concerns. So that was some of it. And that took up kind of a lot of our first year. And I have to point out, while we met informally from June through September or October, we didn't officially adopt bylaws, I think, until October or November. So we've only been in existence for a relatively short amount of time, but I feel like we've made a lot of progress in that time. This year, we're planning to continue working as much as we can on those type of issues, because we are the Black Employee Association. But another key portion of our bylaws and of our mission is to help our students. And so one thing that I'm really passionate about is mentoring. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to do more to support our Black students and help with their success at the college. And academically is one thing, but also just making sure that they feel supported, that they feel like they are actually a part of this campus community. So there's going to be a strong focus on what can our organization do to support our students in this next 2021-2022 year.
Given that, you know, you've had such a short existence, but you've made some strides as far as your goals and, you know, building a community. For anyone who's listening to this who is interested in organizing a Black affinity group or any affinity group at their institution, what advice would you initially give them?
I guess my first advice would be just start small, start with your circle and talk with people and see if you can get some traction in terms of finding people who can share your vision, people that you can talk to and see if you can find enough individuals where, I mean, I guess technically if it's two people, that's that's a pair. I guess three people is a group. So, but it doesn't have to be everyone, and you don't have to be grandiose. I think you just start small, start with conversations, see if you can get some traction and some forward momentum and start to build out from there. Start to have conversations, collect the thoughts and the opinions, because none of this is the work of a single person. It's going to take many hands. So if you want to start with this, just start small, talk, get ideas, build momentum, and see what's the will of the group. And that'll give you a lot of idea and a lot of ideas and a lot of direction on where people want to go with this work. And then you go.
So just wrapping things up with the upcoming semester and BEA, you know, with a, you know, your first year anniversary coming up, how do you think you remember the first year of the many years that this organization will exist?
I love that you put that out there like that. And I'm just going to say, yes, it's going to exist for many, many, many years. In reflecting, it's interesting. You said reflecting. We had our event on June 29th, 2021, which was our looking back and moving forward event where we kind of did some of that. When I look back, and what I'll remember is that first meeting we had like, I'm going to say in excess of 60 people, you know, on a Zoom call, and just hearing people introduce themselves, people that I had never met at the college or had an opportunity to talk to, and being able to see them, even if it was virtually, that was powerful for me. And knowing that, you know, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, but you just have to step out on faith and just try and see what's going to, and allow yourself to be surprised with the response that you may get back. So that first day was very exciting, that first meeting and the response that we got. And then the last meeting that we had, which was that June 29th event, is going to remind me, or I'm going to hold on to that and think about that, because it was kind of a culminating event of everything that had happened prior to then. And it took a lot of work to put it together, more work than I would have thought. But it was really wonderful, because I got to see kind of where we've come from. And like I said, we wouldn't have been able to put this on in the way that we could if we didn't build a good relationship with the college and with the administration. And so it made me feel like we are moving in the right direction, and where nothing happens overnight. And I don't expect miracles, but I feel like the work that we put in was showcased in that event, and it made all of the work feel, the work that preceded that and everything that happened prior, it made it feel worthwhile. You know, so I'll think about that. But then I'll put it on the shelf, because it'll be a new year. We gotta keep working. So you can't, you know, we don't rest on our laurels around here. We have to keep working. So, but I'll think about those two things, because they're like bookends for me.
All All right, Chardon, that's a perfect point to end on. I know this was a collective effort, but I just want to thank you for all you've done for HFC, and just thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, Roosevelt, for having me. Again, I appreciate it. I really believe in the work that we're doing. I believe in the Rebuild Detroit. I plan to continue being as much a part of those events as I can and that process as I can. So thank you for the work that you're doing. You are an awesome, awesome host. You make me sound good. So I appreciate all of your efforts. Thank you, Roosevelt, for having me.
You're very welcome.